So we'll be moving on now to our final case study from Tennessee. We're going to be hearing from both Bob Freeman and Brendan Held, who are both with US EPA Region 4. Bob Freeman is a registered professional engineer and Class 3 wastewater treatment operator in the state of Georgia. He's been with EPA since 1970 and has focused on water and wastewater systems, specifically energy management, including energy harvesting from waste streams, wastewater land treatment and reuse, wastewater nutrient removal technologies and costs, and decentralized wastewater treatment. He's presented several papers at the Water Environment Federation Annual Conference, the WEFTEC, and he's been published in the Water Energy Federation Journal and other publications. He has degrees in chemical engineering, civil engineering, and an MBA. And then we'll also be hearing from Brendan Held, who's been with EPA for 3 years, specializing in water and wastewater infrastructure. He has an environmental engineering degree from Michigan Technological University and a bachelor's in material science from the University of Michigan. He has also served in the Peace Corps in Madagascar and Mali, where he did his master's research on the energy-water nexus within the context of rural communities in West Africa. So with that, I think Bob is going to kick off the presentation, so we'll turn it over to you. Thanks.
Thanks, Emma. I'm looking to see my presentation right now.
Yeah, there should be a box popping up on your screen where you can click to take over the control. I don't know, Wendy, have you been able to send that?
Yeah. Bob, it looks like you are sharing your screen already, but we're just looking at your internet browser.
Yeah.
If you could minimize that and open your presentation, maybe.
All righty, I'll do that.
There we go, and make it full screen.
We'll do that.
There we go.
Thanks. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be a part of this webcast. I'm Bob Freeman. And we're going to be talking about our efforts with the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation in our energy management initiative. The things that basically we're going to cover are going to be the background, how we got involved in this whole effort, what did it look like, how did we work together and work with utilities, what the results were of that overall effort. And then Brendan's going to take over that point and talk about some of the specific utilities we worked with, Fayetteville, Columbia, and Franklin, Tennessee, and what some of the results we were able to achieve, help them achieve there, and some of the lessons we learned through this process, and where do we plan to go from here. The Tennessee Water and Wastewater Energy Efficiency Partnership. Where do we come up with that? Well, it goes back to October 2008 when Jennifer Dodd with TDEC, Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation, and I were working with Jim Horn out of headquarters to put on a workshop to introduce folks to the new, at that time, the new EPA Energy Management Guidebook. It had just come out in January 2008, and in October 2008, we had a one-day workshop in Nashville that Jim coordinated for us through his contractors to put on this workshop of how utilities could approach energy management in the state of Tennessee. And we had a pretty good turnout at that one-day workshop and had hoped to be able to follow up with some more activities, but unfortunately that didn't work quite as well as we had hoped, the follow-up part. And then in March of 2009, I was involved in some infrastructure meetings that the different regions in EPA were having, and Jim Horn had arranged, Jim's name comes up a lot because he's really been the spearhead of a lot of this effort. He arranged a meeting in Kansas City, our Region 7 office, where several presentations were given about an energy management initiative they had conducted. So then in February of 2011, I finally got back to Jennifer Dodd at the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation and asked her if TDEC would be interested in trying to really engage with EPA Region 4 and putting together an energy management initiative. They were very interested. And so the first step we took was to try to form a team to really conduct this thing. And just one more idea of background, the reason we decided to go a team approach is because most of the past efforts we'd seen in energy efficiency for water and wastewater utilities had produced very limited results. A number of them in our area, some different states, had energy audits done, but by and large it became a resource that sat on the shelf. What we saw, or what we didn't see, I guess is really a better way to put it, we didn't see engagement by the utilities themselves with the whole concept of saving energy. So we decided to go with a little more intensive effort with the utilities to see if we could enhance that engagement. So we put together this team, TDEC, us in Region 4, TVA, the big power provider, throughout the state of Tennessee, the University of Tennessee, University of Memphis, the University of North Carolina Environmental Finance Center, and we brought in an energy efficiency expert from Schneider Electric to help give us some real-world costs. The first thing our team did when we met in Nashville was try to identify the utilities we wanted to work with and that we would invite to participate. We ended up inviting 10 different utilities to participate, and ended up these seven utilities were the ones that I'm showing on this state map are the ones that ended up being part of our partnership. We wanted utilities scattered around the state. We wanted from small to large, and you'll see the smallest one here was 700,000 gallons a day actual flow. The largest was one of Nashville's plants, which was 17 million gallons a day, and then several spread in between those sizes. Because we wanted to be able to demonstrate energy management at a wastewater utility isn't size dependent. These are just some photos of that are illustrate some of the plants that we worked with. Columbia on the upper left, they have a nitrification tower. First Utility District of Knox County, this is their drinking water plant. We actually looked at their drinking water plant as well. We did look at two or three drinking water plants in addition to the wastewater plant. Lower left corner, Nashville Dry Creek Wastewater Treatment Plant. That's the one that actual flows around 15 to 17 million gallons a day. Bottom right corner, Lenore City Utility District Wastewater Treatment Plant. That's a considerably smaller plant. As you see, remember, Lenore City was only 1.5 million gallons a day. What we did during this effort, we went to each treatment plant, made a site assessment to assess opportunities. Our team did, made a site assessment to assess opportunities to save energy. We wrote up a report that we gave back to each utility, with another trip back to them to explain the report that identified and discussed some of those opportunities. And then we invited them to participate in a series of four different workshops at an operator training center in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. These are shots where all of the utilities sent at least two people, and some sent three or four, to participate in 4-day-long workshops over a 6-month period in Murfreesboro, where we went over all types of different approaches, the whole idea of energy as a part of your normal management of that utility was stressed over and over again. The basis of that approach was this whole Plan, Do, Check, Act approach that was one of the important elements in that original energy management guidebook. Beginning, planning, implementation, finding out how well that implementation worked, revising the strategy, and then acting on that. The results. As a result of working with those utilities from about March of or April of 2011 until October of 2012, the measured actual energy savings is over 5 million kilowatt hours a year, over $400,000 a year cost savings, and over 4,800 tons of CO2 emission reduction. That's already accomplished based on about a year's worth of operational data. We've continued to work with those utilities, collect their electric data, plot it out, and we continue to share it with them. We expect to see at least 1.5 to 2 million more kilowatt hours a year as some of the projects that involved a longer implementation time are implemented. There will be even additional savings as some of the projects that require a little more long-term planning are implemented, and we're continuing to work with those seven utilities. At this point, I want to pass the ball to Brendan and let him get into some of the specifics of what we were able to do with specific utilities.
Thank you, Bob. Let me just get my screen sharing with you guys. And I think, are we good? Does that look good?
We can see it now.
Okay, great. Just before I move on, I want to highlight how important that process was to the success of the program. As Jim said, you know, those workshops, I think it was Jim that said that those workshops present an opportunity for the participants to network with one another and share ideas. It also built a lot of trust between EPA and the participants as well as the other partners, which was critical to the whole effort. So moving on, I guess the first example is Fayetteville, Tennessee. It's a 1.2 million gallon plant, which is considerably smaller than the one that was profiled earlier. I think that was about 100 times the size, but smaller doesn't necessarily mean it's small. 1.2 million gallons is actually about a little bit more than the volume of the Washington Monument. The Fayetteville plant has two orbital oxidation ditches, which the wastewater goes from the outer ring into the inner ring into that central circle clarifier, and then the sludge is put into these digesters slash holding tanks. Each of the ditches has 150 horsepower of aeration between them. It's, I guess they've got disc aerators, and then also there is supplemental air being blown into the aerobic holding tanks. Just for those who might not have an idea of how big horsepowers are and what they translate to in terms of kilowatt hours, 100 horsepower is about 75 kilowatts, which costs $6 to run for an hour. That's pretty small compared to a lot of industrial processes, but if it's running 24/7, the costs can certainly add up. Oh, dear. Let's see here. The plant has a fairly low organic loading compared to its design organic load, and they could probably get by with using one tank, but they use two to deal with hydraulic surges. Doing this causes a long solids retention time, which is about 50 days for the plant, and what that means is that some of the digestion actually occurs within the ditches. And so these digesters are really being just used more as holding tanks than digesters, and that plays into some of the savings that we were able to achieve here. That's a close-up of the disc aerators that sort of help push the wastewater around the track and add oxygen into the mix. And some plants have the ability to control, let me just go back to that slide, some plants have the ability to control the speed of these aerators based on the DO that's in the tank at that moment. That was not the case in this plant. They had to do it manually, and it was on-off operation. They didn't have variable speed on it. And again, here's another view of some of the digesters. They had supplemental air. Like I said, you can see the coarse bubble aeration going up and down that middle there. What we were able to recommend was that they turn down that coarse bubble aeration, which was being fed by, I believe, 225 horsepower blowers that were pretty old and rather inefficient. So when they did that, we were able to see no impact to the treatment, but a very significant impact to their budget and their energy use. You can see there that we did a benchmark of their energy use the previous 2 years prior to those implementations. I don't know why this keeps popping up. I apologize. It was about 30% savings and 820,000 kilowatt hours per year savings, which is pretty big for a plant that size. So we were pretty pleased with those results. Next up is Columbia, a little bit bigger plant, 5 million gallons per day, which is enough to cover a football field, end zone, sideline to sideline, 11.5 feet deep. It had a 14 million gallon per day design load, which means it's loaded about 35% of its design capacity. This is not common, but it's not rare either, and it makes it difficult to operate the plant efficiently if it's not operating at its design load. It also produces 4,900 pounds of dry sludge to the landfill every day, which is quite a bit. And it's a conventional system with just aeration basins and clarifiers, and they've got a polishing trickling filter here that does a little bit of nitrification for them, and chlorine contact down here. There's the nitrification tower and close-up of the aeration tanks there. Again, the SCADA system and the operation, the monitoring of the dissolved oxygen in the mixed liquor was out of date and rather dysfunctional, and the staff had to basically operate based on smell and color of the aeration tanks. And as a result, we found that they were supplying about six times the amount of oxygen that was needed for treatment. And as engineers, we recognize that safety factor is probably a good thing to have, but this seemed a little excessive. And based on that finding, we were able to recommend shutting off one of their 450 horsepower blowers. And again, there was no observable impact to the level of treatment that they were achieving. And that led to 20% savings, which was 1.9 million kilowatt hours per year. So again, not a cost that not a change that cost them a lot of money. They also made some improvements to their UV disinfection system. It was a simple change. We're not clear on the exact details or the cost, but it was relatively minor. Yes?
Oh, if you just choose the first, don't close it. Just choose the first one.
Okay.
That should make it
stop. Okay. Yep. All right. See if I can get back there. There we go. Okay. Yes, yeah, so they made some minor changes to their UV disinfection system, which basically improved the control of it so that it was able to pace with the turbidity of their effluent, and that was able to allow them to turn off their lamps as the turbidity improved, and that also contributed to those savings. We don't have exact numbers as far as how much of that 1.9 million kilowatt hours is due to the aeration system and the UV system individually, but as a total, those savings have been measured and verified. The interesting thing in this case was we showed this bar chart to the plant superintendent, and you know, we were expecting him to be pretty pleased with the result, and he was pretty hesitant to publicize this, especially to his board and to his governance, because he was afraid that once they found out that, you know, he would be spending less money on electricity, that money would come out of his budget. And that was one of those sort of aha moments where we realized that, you know, communication is a big thing here, especially between the operations staff and the city governance. And getting them to an agreement where it is a good thing for them to go looking for efficiencies so it doesn't hurt them later when they might need that money later, either for upgrades or, you know, if they have to turn that blower back on when their flows go back up. Franklin was, again, bigger still. This was a 10 MGD plant with a design flow of 12 MGD. They had these three oxidation ditches. Two of them were in service. These two down here were older, and this one was newer. And these, the one active older ditch had supplemental air as well as the vertical aerators that we saw from Fayetteville. They also operate with anoxic zones, bringing the dissolved oxygen to a low level, allowing for denitrification and some oxygen harvesting. So they were already doing a lot of things to improve their treatment and also reduce their oxygen demand. But the set points that they were operating at were in the 2 to 2.5 range milligrams per liter of dissolved oxygen. And we recommended lowering that to 1.0 because that would provide sufficient oxygen for treatment, but not anything in excess. And they were able to slowly and gradually implement these changes, so they didn't have to worry about shocking the system or violating the permit. And they were able to see significant savings. I skipped over that other slide because they had a good number of other projects, including a solar array similar to the one you saw in Massachusetts. This was purchased with a public-private partnership where the private entity was eligible for the subsidy that the public entity was not. So they paid for the solar panels, and they took a larger portion of the generation credit from the utility for the first 10 years, and then that ratio will flip so that Franklin Public Utilities will get the larger portion for the next 10 years, and then sometime after that, they'll get all of the savings from the electricity generated. And that's saved them 168,000 kilowatt hours for the first year that they implemented it. They've also looked at a lighting refit, which was eligible for an automatic rebate from TVA, the power producer, and joined a demand management program, among other things. They keep telling us how enthusiastic their staff is going after more and more savings. They're really enjoying themselves. I just got the chime, so I'm going to skip ahead to the lessons learned. I hope that our presentation kind of highlighted that any size plant can find savings. It's not just the big boys that have lots of VFDs and large pumps. It's pretty much anybody all the way down to less than 1 MGD. Minimal investment can produce big results. Most, if not all, of these implemented projects really came at no cost to the utilities themselves. That won't necessarily be the case for everyone because that cost was borne by folks such as Bob and myself and the professors and everyone volunteering their time. But the savings are generally there, and it just takes a little bit of upfront expense to find them. That's the importance of doing the audit that it looks like most of you have already done. The savings beget more savings. Fayetteville is using some of their savings to pay for dissolved oxygen probes to improve their monitoring system and their control system for their blowers. And that's something that we really like to see because it shows that it's not just a one-time Band-Aid. It's something that is really integrated into that continuous improvement system that we saw. The team approach works best. That's sort of that point we were talking about with Columbia where they didn't want to share their success with their governance because they were afraid it would hurt them later down the road. Next steps. Bob and I continue to be very active supporting these types of activity in our region. For example, Tennessee is set to implement a second round with another 8 to 10 utilities in the next year. Alabama is in the planning stages for a similar program, and we're starting to work with United South and Eastern Tribes, which is a large consortium that goes from Texas to Maine, and we're helping them develop their capacity so that they can support their member utilities. And Georgia Environmental Financing Authority is very eager to spend money on construction projects that are related to energy efficiency through the SRF program. So if there's not something going on in your area, what can you do? Starting small, doing that audit that Jim was telling you about, that's huge. That energy use assessment tool is a very good tool just to get started and start seeing where your improvements might be. I think Jim mentioned that power companies might be able to support doing an assessment so that you don't have to go out of pocket to do the audit. There's that guidebook again that has been mentioned before, and like I just said, SRF financing might be available to pay for the audit. And you can always just call Bob or I. Our emails will be on the last slide. Also, just a quick little plug, we've got a two-day energy management training course that will focus on optimizing operations, getting into more details. It will be taught by Dr. Larry Moore, who was a member of the Tennessee effort and was key to identifying a lot of these operational improvements. So I really encourage anybody who's interested to tune in. We'll have it available through Adobe Connect, similar to this. You can attend online. Or if you're in the area and really interested, give us a shout, and you can attend in person. It'll be January 7th and 8th, 2014, here in our office. With that, I just want to thank everybody who stuck around and still listening, and turn it back over to Emma.
All right. Thanks, Brendan and Bob, for your presentations. I just want to reiterate how impressive it is that with the utilities of the size that you're mentioning, achieving savings of 20 to 30% in just a couple of years with low to no cost changes is really, really quite impressive. And so I really encourage folks to go back through the presentations after the call and look more in detail in some of the resources and examples, because there's just a lot of great information on tools and resources. So before we jump into, yes? Oh, does somebody have a question? I thought I heard someone on the line. Anyhow, so if anyone has any questions for Bob and Brendan, please go ahead and type them in to GoToMeeting. We'll have a few minutes in just a moment to do Q&A. We will address any questions we don't have time to get to in writing. And very quickly, we're going to throw up our last poll question just to get a little bit of sense of the role that folks are playing in their utilities. And, of course, people are often wearing more than one hat in their job. So if any of these, you know, sort of multiple apply to you, please go ahead and select as many as appropriate, and we'll give you just a minute to enter in your response. All right, we should go ahead and pull up the results there just to keep things moving. And so it looks like a lot of folks are consultants and engineers or fall into the other category. Others, about 16% plant managers, and 4 and 5% when with the city government or the utility management, respectively. So that's interesting for us to know, and we